us. Open up. Open up.
Hell with the Saudi LIV employees.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to L.A. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud. Next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by the no pork eating American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Good evening, Vito. Great to be here as always.
It is great to be. It's Monday, September 12th, 2022. I hope everyone's doing well. We've got a great guest online for tonight. Should be here around the 6:30 hour. That is Tom Trento, Mr. Tom Trento of the United West and defendtheborder.org. So we have some interesting things to say about the border. And maybe Tom will comment on the propaganda princess, Word Salad Harris's spin about the border being secure. Our borders are secure, she said. I almost fell out of my chair. Jeez. I mean, this is the least transparent and the least honest administration we've ever seen. Jimmy Carter has to be standing up, the 100-year-old former president, has to be standing up and giving Rosalynn high fives, knowing that he's no longer the worst president in U.S. history. Same with, what's his name? I forgot. Andrew Johnson. He's got to also be happy that he has somebody that has surpassed him as being the worst president in U.S. history. The administration is so corrupt, so dishonest, to sit there with a straight face and to wonder Word Salad Harris had to change the topic. But we'll save that for when Tom gets here. Just kind of let it up there. But so yesterday.
Oh, yeah. That's a 2 million illegal aliens across the border this year alone.
Yeah. The most ever. The most ever. Ever. I mean, just absolutely incredible what we're hearing from the border czar. Flat out lied to the American people, and there's no accountability. None. There's, I mean, do you think Chuck Todd would have just sat there and said, wait a minute, hold on a second, hold on, we're seeing the images. And of course, in dishonest fashion, the Biden-Harris regime, Word Salad Harris, had to blame former President Trump. I mean, this is how, I'll tell you, you know, I don't know if there's any other means to refute these people, but I mean, maybe OAN, which now I guess DirecTV has taken off of their broadcast, but and Newsmax are the only two left, the only two media sources, and certainly Twitter, you know, is one medium. But the fascists at Facebook aren't going to allow any dispute of that. There's no other sources to come out. And I can't believe there isn't a billionaire out there that could go out and buy a TV station and just start airing this. I mean, Sky News of Australia is the only news medium that makes an effort to get the truth out. I can't believe the unmitigated gall of these liars, of these frauds in Washington, D.C. Unbelievable what we're seeing.
Well, I expect this from the Marxist left. I expect this from Chuck Todd. I expect this from the New York Times. What I don't expect and what I demand as a Republican is that Mitch McConnell start impeachment proceedings immediately for this open border that is a national security risk, and anything short of that is nothing but cowardice on behalf of the Republican Party.
True, and I will say you're absolutely right. Even if it would have to be in a symbolic move, because you know that Nancy Pelosi is protecting the hapless Joe Biden, and there's no way, shape, or form that Nancy Pelosi would ever allow an impeachment vote to occur, would ever allow the charges, the articles of impeachment, to reach any further than the GOP. That's it. It won't go any further. There is not one Democrat, one destructive Democrat in the United States House of Representatives who will fall off the reservation because Nancy Pelosi rules that roost with an iron fist. And you see, that's the thing with people
that
don't understand.
Up until November.
We hope so. Until January 1st.
Up until November.
Yeah, we hope so. We really do. Because the effort doesn't seem to be really to be put out there, you know?
Yeah, and if there's impeachment proceedings that are active going into the November elections, it'll bring more Republicans to the voting booth.
I would think
so,
man.
McConnell's too much of a pussy. Him and his Chinese wife.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. You know, I'll just say this. Senator Scott, Rick Scott of Florida, who heads the senatorial election campaign, he made a comment calling out Foghorn Leghorn McConnell with his statement that there aren't many quality candidates for Republicans. And Rick Scott, to his credit, Senator Scott came out and blasted McConnell. He blasted him. And he even made mention of the fact that McConnell's statements are treasonous to the Republican Party, and he's absolutely right. So the underhandedness of McConnell is he despises Trump, because that's the only reason why he would come out and make such a dumb and stupid statement. Part of the swamp, part of the Washington, D.C. uniparty, and lastly, he despises Trump. And that would be the only reason. You can't tell me that Herschel Walker, a patriot in Georgia, okay, is going up against a communist in Raphael Warnock, that the quality of the candidate is of being a patriot is far less than that of a communist like Warnock. I don't believe it. And then you've got Jumbles up in Pennsylvania, okay? Now, I know Oz may not be the, you know, I don't know enough about Oz, okay? Only what I read, and certainly it's skewed always to the left. But I've been watching some comments and videos of the former lieutenant governor who's running, and that guy is no gem. You want to talk about the quality of a candidate? Then, and you know, the poor guy's had a stroke, so his mental capacity and acuity is not there. It's a little bit worse than Joe Biden, maybe not much. And we know what a disaster Joe Biden is. So I hope that the people of Pennsylvania will use good judgment and not elect this guy, because it would be a nightmare, another nightmare, which means that the Republicans could retain that seat and possibly pick up another, you know, Senate seat. And they should take control of the U.S. Senate. They really should. I just hope that the Republicans, if they do become the majority in the Senate, they elect a new majority leader, because Mitch McConnell is not the man he once was. He's 80 years old. He's too old, and certainly he's too jaded of a man. I just don't trust McConnell, as I don't trust McCarthy. Exactly. So yesterday, the Kroger Queen City Championship was played, the LPGA Tour. The Kroger Queen City is back on the agenda, and the LPGA was out there. Allie Ewing was vying for her third LPGA Tour title. She was leading yesterday afternoon, and got to say, it was great. She took a two-shot lead into the 18th hole. Her challenger in second place was two shots behind. It was China's Zhiju Lin, who birdied the 18th hole, the very difficult 18th hole. I think there was one of three birdies that day, or that week, actually. But she birdied the 18th hole to pull within one shot. Allie Ewing came up short on her approach shot on the 18th hole, and she had to make a par at worst in order to win. She bogeys the hole, she ties, and they go into a playoff. So Ewing's approach shot came up short. She opted to putt from off the green, and she got the ball within – she got the putt within 3 feet, but she had a tester. It was a little bit downhill and breaking to the left for a par, and she drained it. And Allie wins her third LPGA tournament, so congratulations to Allie Ewing. And it was a good tournament. It was fine for the ladies. Nice to see it back on the agenda. The weather played a little bit of a role all week, but it's nice to see that tourney back on the agenda. So,
yeah. How about Maria Fossey from Mexico?
Yeah, there was a lot of buildup for her, and she finished in solo third place, and she probably had one of her best tournaments in a long time. She finished two shots ahead of Zhijiang Li Six. She played very well. She shot a 71, a 1-under 71, and Ewing shot a 6-under 66. That was pretty darn good. So, Maria Fossey is very Fossey. She's a fine-looking Mexican lady.
Yeah.
Muy bueno.
Boy, can she play golf, too.
She can. And, you know, she's long. Man, she was hitting three woods to where the other two were hitting drivers. So I thought, whoa. It's like, damn. Mm-hmm. She had a couple of bogeys on the first nine. She got a little bit nervous, but she settled down at three birdies on the back and for a 1-under 71, and she finished solo third place, which is really nice. Good for her. And then Ewing,
great tournament.
Ewing popped five birdies in a row on the back to take the lead, and she never looked back. She was hitting some shots. Oof. Man, from the rough, from the side, missing fairways, but getting up and down. So it was really cool to see. So. Good. I'm glad. And you know what? Glad for Kroger to get back in, and they need to be sponsoring LPGA tournaments. It's good to see. Because yesterday, of course, was September the 11th, and it was 21 years Oh, yeah, thank you. So it's John Sobieski Day. Thank you, Bigfoot. It's a Polish Polish holiday. Yeah. Yesterday was September 11th. It was 21 years ago. America was attacked by 19 Muslim men funded by the Saudi Arabians, attacked the United States. They attacked New York City. They attacked the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., Arlington. And the brave souls of Flight 93, United Flight 93, stopped Islamic terrorists from yet another attack on Washington, D.C. And it's not known whether it was targeted, whether the Capitol or the White House were targeted, but the heroes of United Flight 93 certainly deserve the posthumous.
Let's roll Beamer.
Let's roll Beamer. Yep. And in the end, 2,977 were dead. Unlike communist Jayapal in the House, we do not recognize the 19 Islamic terrorists as being the dead. Islamic terrorists should die. And unfortunately, Jayapal, Representative Jayapal, is she looks through a different set of glasses, and I'm sure she gets her talking points from incestuous Ilhan Omar. And shame on Jayapal for including the 19 Muslim terrorists, the Islamic jihadists, in the number of dead. They don't deserve that recognition, and shame on you, Jayapal. But I wouldn't expect anything less from a communist in the United States House of Representatives. Led by Todd Beamer, let's roll. The brave and patriotic passengers of United Airlines Flight 93 stopped the heart of America from being attacked, Washington, D.C. 21 years later, we still remember that infamous day. And 21 years later, we remember where we were that morning. 21 years later, we remember the horrific images of the Twin Towers being attacked. 21 years later, we remember the horrific images of people hanging out of the tower windows of the World Trade Center North and South Towers, smoke billowing out from where the two planes had driven into the buildings. And sadly, we saw the images of people jumping to their death. Islamic terror reared its ugly head once again on America. After all, it was the second attack on the World Trade Center, the first being in 1993. This time, the impact is still felt 21 years later. The emotion of 9/11/2001 ranged from sadness to anger to patriotism, a feeling that had not been felt since December 7, 1941, a day that would live in infamy. Except on December 7, 1941, there were no immediate images that were being shown across America. Americans in Topeka, Kansas, Miami, Florida, or San Diego, California didn't witness Japanese planes attacking Pearl Harbor as we witnessed on 9/11/2001 with planes flying into the South Tower of New York City or the immediate aftermath of a plane flying into the United States Pentagon. Now, 21 years later, has America forgot what brought us together for a brief time? Where the American flag was proudly flown with patriotic fervor like we've never witnessed. The flag represented freedom and liberty and not the woke symbol of racism and separatism. 21 years later, the anti-American movement has sought to condemn that very flag we flew and respected on 9/12/2001. America was truly united. But for a brief time, America was the United States of America. Who knew we were a beacon of freedom, hope, and individual liberties? Our sons, daughters, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews knew it was to be an American, what it was to be an American on September 12, 2001. And they flocked to their nearest military recruitment centers. America was attacked. America's way of life was attacked. The fabric of our nation was attacked. We were not going to allow this attack to go without a response. And for all of George W. Bush's faults, it would not go unanswered. But 21 years ago, on 9/11, 2001, 19 Muslim men funded by Saudi Arabia attacked the United States of America. Never forget. And folks, never forget September 11, 2012, Benghazi attack. The U.S. government led by Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Hillary Rotten Clinton, and Susan Rice let Americans die in Benghazi. They let Ambassador Christopher Sievert, CIA Sean Smith, Navy SEALs Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods die. Our government lied. Leon Panetta lied. Susan Rice lied, not only to Americans, but to the world at the United Nations. And then Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama doubled down on that lie. The shameless and corrupt Hillary Rotten Clinton lied to the families of the four Americans killed in Benghazi, including Pat Smith, Sean Smith's mother. Hillary Rotten Clinton looked right into the eyes of Pat Smith and lied. The shameless and corrupt Hillary Rotten Clinton has no heart, no soul, and lied to Americans about a bunch of men going out for an evening walk and stated, what difference does it make? Just a horrible woman. Horrible. Benghazi, where Obama and Biden sacrificed Ambassador Christopher Stevens to cover up a gun-running scheme. So let's not ever forget, 10 years ago, a decade already has gone by, September 11, 2012, the four individuals fallen in Benghazi, Ambassador Christopher Stevens, CIA Sean Smith, Navy SEALs Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods. And not to mention the 2,977 Americans who died on 9/11/2001. Truly a day that will live in infamy. Al, do you recall where you were 21 years ago on that fateful morning?
Well, yeah, it just seems, sure didn't seem like 20 years. Yeah, I remember the 93 bombing. And then the Islamic jihadis finished the job on 2001, and they still call them hijackers. They were Islamic jihadi terrorists of the Sunni persuasion of Islam, and the majority of them hailed from Saudi Arabia. They're
yeah.
not hijackers. They had no intent of hijacking those planes. They were meant to kill. That's Osama bin Laden.
I remember when...
Words matter. Words matter. We have to identify our enemies in plain, simple English.
Well, words do matter. I do remember in the 60s and the 70s when the Cubans were hijacking planes. They were hijacking planes. They were bringing them to a stop. They had the pilot, you know, they would hold a gun to the pilot's head and they would demand money. They would demand safe refuge. That was a hijacking. This is no hijacking. They hijacked the plane, certainly, but this was a jihadi attack. There was no intent to let anybody go. The intent was to inflict pain. The intent was to attack the United States of America and instill fear into the hearts of the disbelievers. And it's exactly what they did on 9/11/2001. And it was also our birthday, 9/11/2008, 14 years ago, we started this network. And it's 14 years later. Who would have knew? It's still going strong.
Well, we educate America on things that they need to be educated on, and we're not afraid to say what needs to be said.
No, and you know, there was a challenge that was put out after 9/11/2001 by the Islamic world, after the Islamic community in America, after George W. Bush stated that Islam means peace. And the challenge was to go out and read the Quran. It was imams all around the country. That was the coordinated narrative, okay, because we're no different than you and I, all right? You know, we're just Islam is just another religion. And they challenged us to go and read the Quran and show that Islam is peace. And when we read the Quran, you know, immediately, like chapter 4, verse 71, oh, you believe, take your precautions. So go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. Well, on 9/11/2001, we saw 19 Muslim men funded by Saudi Arabia go to war in separate groups. And they went to war by flying planes into buildings into the across the United States in Washington, D.C., and in New York City. And then you read chapter 4, verse 84. So engage in war for the sake of Allah, lay not burdens on any but yourself, and provoke the believers. So the attack on 9/11 was just like the attack in 1993. It was meant to provoke the believers of Islam. Provoke the believers that you can attack the big Satan, which is Iran calls the United refers to the United States as big Satan. We see the provocation by the believers on a daily basis, whether it's the attack in Paris, France in 2015 that killed 130 people, or the attack in Nice, France, where they killed 83 people on Bastille Day. Or the beheadings that we see across the world, including two in Paris. We saw another beheading down in the southern part of the United States, I believe New Mexico. So we see the constant attacks, including in the UK, the knife attacks, because, of course, they outlawed guns. So let's outlaw guns, and we can see about what other means would they use, vehicles, knives, explosives, mm-hmm. as we saw Boston Marathon several years ago when they killed three people and injured, 120? So the constant attack on non-Muslims is what we see, and it comes right out of the word of Allah, which would be the Quran, just like chapter 9, verse 5. So when the forbidden months are passed, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, take them as captive and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. Chapter 9, verse 5 aggregates 124 verses in the Quran, and it's held up as what? The battle cry for Islamic jihad.
Right, and that goes back even to the birth of our nation when the Muslim Barbary pirates were killing and taking our ships and killing our American sailors at the birth of our country. So this has been an ongoing problem from the beginning of the American experiment.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because I love the spin. You know, the propaganda seems to be the way to go when you're at the Democrat Party or part of the Muslim Brotherhood. And the propaganda with regards to the Muslim Barbary pirates is that Thomas Jefferson understood about Islam. Yeah, Thomas Jefferson has his Quran. The one thing about Thomas Jefferson, he was certainly an educated man. And how he educated himself was to know thine enemy. And yes, Thomas Jefferson had a Quran, and it was to know the enemy. And that is how come they formed the Marines. That is how come they formed a military force to escort our trading ships through the Muslim Barbary pirates and take them on heads on, because I believe it was Presidents Washington and Adams agreed to pay the $3 million jizya a year so that the Muslim pirates would not attack the ships. And Thomas Jefferson was not having any of that. He was not going to pay the jizya in order for safe passage of our trading ships. And he used the military to defend our ships. And you know what? We'll take a quick call because it's Holger, and I know we got Tom Trento coming on, but he wants to make a quick statement. So, hey, Holger, how you doing?
Hey there.
Hey.
See,
I know
you got
on?
You got Tom
Colder.
Coming on.
Yes.
Hey Al. I just wanted to throw this out since you were talking about 9/11. As you probably know, you know, I've had like, you know, 16 screen names at Twitter because they I got thrashed a few times.
Yes.
So my current Twitter name, you know, I've got like, you know, 300 followers. That's it. You know, I'm like a nobody on top of nobody. But I tweeted something out the other day on 9/11, and it's the biggest reaction I've ever gotten in the history of being on Twitter. I've gotten 123 likes on it, which isn't much, but, you know, for me, that's like 120 more than normal.
Right.
But I just want to read it real quick because it was replying to Hillary Clinton, because Hillary Clinton on 9/11, Hillary Clinton, she decided that was the day that she should tweet out a Bible verse. I replied to Hillary and I said, "You have the nerve to quote scripture as the person who tarnished the memories of four dead Americans at Benghazi with a lie about a YouTube video. No, we haven't forgotten Benghazi, Hillary, nor the blood of those men on your hands."
Oh, my God. That was brilliant.
Absolutely. So we have to remember there was two 9/11s, baby.
Yes, so. It was. And it wasn't just a bunch of guys out for an evening walk. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. More than some people, you know, did something.
Well, after
go
ahead.
And by the way, Ilhan Omar, on the anniversary of September 11th, 2001, Ilhan Omar's tweet was regarding a famine in 2011 in Somalia. That was what was on her mind.
She's pathetic. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, we'll
right,
talk
boys.
A little bit more about it after Tom's
All right.
interview. So, okay?
All right. Okay, talk to you later.
Well, Hillary.
All right.
Yeah. Great call. Yeah, speaking of Hillary. Yeah, speaking of Hillary, she wrote a new book and about gutsy women. She included Elizabeth. She forgot to include, or she purposely excluded Queen Elizabeth, who just passed away. But she included gutsy women like Wanda Sykes, Megan Thee Stallion, and Kim Kardashian, and Simone and Amy Schumer as gutsy women, excluding Queen Elizabeth. So typical.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they're just so plastic, you know. They're so fraudulent. But you know, Hillary has gotten away with murder, and literally, and it's just she must have something on the people in Washington D.C. I guess I don't know, Al. I still kind of don't understand, you know, how this lady continues to be able to walk the streets after what she's done. And it's just, it's truly amazing at the level in which she's been able to escape all this. And I never thought this a person so corrupt as Hillary Rotten Clinton could walk away unscathed. And she acts like, you know, she's the queen.
Well, we do have somebody on the phone, Mr. Tom Trento, who is the founder of The United West and the DefendTheBorder.org Tom Homan Project. And Tom is going to talk with us today about the border. Tom, welcome.
Hey, welcome, guys. I don't know if I'm going to stay on. I get on the phone and you're ripping an old lady, a poor old lady that's retired and on Social Security. You're going after old ladies now. I don't know, man.
I'm sorry, Tom.
Hillary Clinton to me bag, too.
Hillary Clinton is proof that God exists, because you look at her life, and I've been dealing with her life from the beginning, 30 years or whatever, and you go, how could there be a God to allow all of this? Because in the life to come, all that stuff gets taken care of. There has Hillary Clinton is proof that God exists.
That's an interesting angle. I like that, Tom.
Divine justice. Poor Bill. How'd you like to be married to her? Yeah, figured out by now how to work the scams and all that. But you're in your twilight years. Your health's fading, Bill. You don't have the energy to do, and you got to wake up with her every morning. Oh my God. Anyway, so how you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. We're doing great. Good. Now you've actually added some levity to this. Very good. Thank you. Scary, but good to think.
Scary, yeah.
So, Tom, you have a new project you're working on. It's called defendtheborder.org. And Al, go ahead. You have some questions for Tom.
Well, now, Tom, tell us a little bit about the United West real briefly so people can go to theunitedwest.org and defendtheborder.org to learn a little bit more about you and the work that you're doing, the very important work that you're doing regarding national security issues.
All right. 21 years and one day ago, I was about 50 feet from where I am, which was about 2,000 feet from Mohammed Atta, and my life changed. So if your audience didn't get that, I'll say that one more time. 21 years and a day ago, September 11th, 2001, I was 50 feet from where I am. I was sitting on a couch in my living room in my home in Florida. And unbeknownst to me, my home was 2,000 feet, I measured it, from Mohammed Atta's apartment that he left to go up to Boston on a couple of days before 9/11. Didn't know who Mohammed Atta was, didn't know he lived 2,000 feet from my house, but I did watch the two buildings come down, and I had a background in the theology of Islam. I'm a trained evangelical Christian apologist. So an apologist is simply an attorney for the defense of the claims that Christianity makes. God exists. Jesus is the Messiah. These are claims. A Christian apologist presents evidence to defend those claims. So in that context, my education, I've studied Islam extensively on the theological side. But I knew enough about terrorism, particularly in October 1993, 8 years before the World Trade Center attack. The first attack on the World Trade Center with the underground bomb, and it was unsuccessful. If the truck was moved a little bit, the building would have come down. So I knew pretty quickly that this was Islamic terrorism. I went on a 5-year study rampage, studying everything I could about Islam, Islamic jihad, Islamic doctrine, took courses, went to Florida Atlantic University, took courses on Middle East, took courses on Israel and everything. And I was building up like a balloon, those helium balloons that you keep filling and filling and filling. 5 years of all this stuff, I wanted to explode, sort of how I feel right now, ironically. The culmination of all of that was to start an organization originally called the Florida Security Council, and started that to equip Floridians to defend themselves against Muslim attacks, because the thinking was there's going to be more in the world than in the United States. So started out as the Florida Security Council. Remember those early days, Alan?
Oh, yes.
That's a quick background. Got any questions? Otherwise, I'll pick it up the timeline and come right to here.
Get back to the office! You need a big office!
So, Tom, that was one of your early interviews, or from the street live, when the Israelis were holding a rally in Fort Lauderdale, and across the street there were some Islamists who were protesting, and the Religion of Peace had one of their Islamic members go out into the middle of the street where you happened to be filming, and was yelling, "Go back to the oven." I knew then that you were a man who of conviction, and you were unafraid. You would go right into the den of the teeth and really challenge these people. And we still have that clip from, what was it, 2010, 2011?
It was December 30th, 2008. It was Operation Cast Lead. It was a operation by the Israelis against Islamic Jihad and against the Hamas in Gaza. Gaza was firing their typical Katyusha rockets and everything else. And the Israelis launched Operation Cast Lead and started kicking their ass. And all the Muslims were going nuts in the United States, having rallies and all this. So I heard there was going to be a Palestinian rally on a significant corner in downtown Fort Lauderdale. So I took my son, who Alan knows him very well. He's a rock and roller, so he doesn't look anything like, you know, a conservative Trump supporter or Bush supporter in those days. And I actually have Jewish and Arab blood. I'm Sicilian, but I have Jewish and Arab blood, so I can. I get mistaken for either an Israeli or a Palestinian or whatever. So we go into the crowd, and we were on the American side. Alan West was there. Joyce, what's her name? The talk show host. How can I forget? She's my good friend. Joyce, the talk show host. About 25 older people with American flags, Israeli flags on one corner, and 300. I counted them, 300 wild-eyed military-age men with a bunch of women thrown in there, all breathing fire and hatred and venom. And we walk through that crowd, and you know, Alan has done this so many times, you kind of just become part of the environment, and you can't show any fear because they sense that. And you could be, I'm always very, very concerned. You know, very concerned, but you can't show that. And so we're walking through there, and you could see the intensity is increasing. And then guess what happened?
What?
A henna dyed red bearded imam calls everybody to the evening prayer. And they all line up, and they start doing their evening prayer. It was getting a little dark, and they start doing the prayer. And I'm watching this, and I'm watching evil, evil be birthed. You could see evil being birthed, the intensity of the rote prayer and the replication of the words and the cadence and the increased tone. And I'm going, I'm getting goosebumps just remembering it. I'm going to myself, this don't look good. There's about two cops there, two Fort Lauderdale cops. So I go over to the cops, and I tell them, go get some help. This ain't looking good. There's going to be problems. So they actually called other cars. And when the imam finishes and they start all their Allahu Akbar, takbir, Allahu Akbar, takbir, Allahu Akbar. I go, oh, God. And then they start marching across the street. I jump in front of them and start taping. And Alan West is there. And he's standing. And then I'm standing. He's standing confronting them. I'm standing like as their friend. Like, oh, brother, come on, brother. You don't want to do this, brother. Come on. You know, I start playing their role to push them back. A couple of the older guys see what I'm doing. They start pushing them back. Alan's armed. I may or may not have been armed, but, you know, what are you going to do? There's 300 people there. And finally the police come out and put lines between everybody. They were going to destroy, they were going to harm the 25 elderly people that were on the corner with the Israeli flags. And I went home, saw that footage, stayed up all night. I had put up quite a few videos, you know, 5,000, 10,000, whatever. I cut this thing together. It was originally 9 minutes. And I'm not an editor. I'm not a Mark Campbell editor, but I knew a little bit of what I was doing. We put it up late that night. My daughter gets up in the morning. She goes, "Dad, you're not going to believe this." I said, "What?" "This thing has 200,000 views." I said, "What?" And it just went wild. It played either all of it or parts of it, particularly the ovens part, has played millions upon millions upon Hey, look, if I got a penny for every time that thing played, I wouldn't be driving a 1998 Toyota Camry, you know? So that was – and let me tell you what happened next. I was on my way to Europe. I was going to the Hague to interview Geert Wilders, and I was going to Paris to a rally, a pro-Palestinian rally. But the next weekend after that, all the Israeli and Christians and Jews decided to hold a rally in Miami. Alan, did you come down for that Miami rally?
No, I missed that one.
All right. Well, we had a rally at the Miami Convention Center, 2,000 of us, and the police had everything roped off with fenced off with the portable fencing where everybody was going to stand, and none of them showed up, zero. So we're all holding rallies, and then we hear there's 200 of them at the Israeli consulate in downtown Miami. So a bunch of the more aggressive Israeli Jews and Christians said, "Let's go there." And I'm going, "This ain't a good idea, you know, this ain't a good idea." So I go with my son-in-law, my son. I had an old van. I parked it. My van got towed because I didn't see the no parking sign. But we go out to where the picket was, you know, the protest in front of the consulate. And there's a handful of Jews and Christians and all, you know, 200 Palestinians. And they're riding Rolls Royces around, and it was getting bad. It was getting bad. You could see there's going to be confrontation. And I'm standing there taping, and I was so concerned because I went over on the Muslim side again. I was so concerned that I would be identified because that video had gone viral. I got identified. Somebody comes up to me and goes, "You're the guy with that video." I don't know what you're talking about. I know there's going to be trouble now. So I go to a cop. There's one cop there. I said, "Look, you got to go get people. This is bad. There's going to be trouble." The cop says, "Everybody's at the Dolphin game. They all took that duty. I'm here alone." I said, "You better go get help. This place is going to explode." Now, 5 minutes later, this Jewish kid who was one of these Jewish kids that were raised as a little soft baby by their parents, never thrown into the world. You know, I mean, I'm a Christian. We have these kids too. But this kid was but he saw that there were a bunch of tougher people around him on his side. So he goes and picks a fight with a Muslim, throws a punch. A Muslim throws him on the ground, and all hell breaks loose. My son-in-law is 6'5", 220, you know, spent time on vacation behind bars. He's a street fighter. He's picking up Muslims, throwing them through the air, throwing them on the ground. I got this video going. I don't want to get in a situation where guy with video causes a riot and then the video loses its strength. So I grab my son-in-law and my son. I go, "Let's get out of here." And 15 people got arrested, 14 Muslims, one non-Muslim, in a total riot that broke out that day. So the religion of peace, what can I tell you? But this, you know, if you've ever been in a street fight, all that tension, it just takes one person to throw that one punch, and that kid threw the punch, He was wrong. It would have happened anyway, but this Jewish kid started it, and we rescued him. We got him out of there. He would have got the crap kicked out of him. So that was 2 weeks in 2008. Yeah, that's how many years ago? 16 years ago. Unbelievable.
Wow.
14 years
ago. Let's fast forward to 2022. We have another national security type issue, which you are right in the middle of, involving our southern border. And would you say that President Biden's open border policies that have allowed, recently reported within the last 24 hours, 2 million illegal aliens into our country, would you say that that is a national security threat, and why?
Well, if you're a Democrat, no, it's a great voter registration drive, and that's really what it is. And they don't even make, you know, they don't try to hide it anymore. The Marxist policies of the Democrat Party have failed. So there's a scorch to burn the southern border, bring in huge numbers, and count on 10, 20, 30% being converted to Democrat voters within 5 years or so, legally or illegally. And that percentage of a couple of million people throws, if you position these people in the right precincts, throws the precinct, the area, the state over on the Democrat equation in the electoral calculus, and you now have solidified a Democrat won victories, local, state, and national levels for probably a lifetime. So you just need the right amount of people in the right places, and you got it. Damn the, you know, the torpedoes. Who cares if the country has to, people have to pay more taxes, all of that. So we, on the side of the rule of law, say this is a national security crisis at so many different levels, from the jihad level to the sexual exploitation of five-year-old kids, which we have documentation for. You know, I don't know if we can win this battle before it's too late, but we will die trying, that's for sure.
And that's part of the genesis of defendtheborder.org and the Tom Homan Project.
Yeah, what we did, you know, as you know, Alan, you've been with us all these years. We looked at the next couple of years, and we said, how could now the United West, we had a name change from the Florida Security Council to a name that was more indicative and descriptive of what we do. It's a global battle. We're trying to unite the West, which is falling apart, unite the West against Islamic jihad, and the obvious Marxist elements within Islam or outside Islam that are joining with Islam. And for the record, I heard the term Islamist. I don't use the term Islamist because I don't know any serious Islamic scholar or theologian that would use the term. Islamic propagandists obviously will use Islamist to distinguish a group of bad Muslims from the bad doctrine of Islam. But I try to get my direction and base my analysis of Islam on the language of Islamic scholars and Islamic theologians and all the Ayatollahs and Imams that are fighting the jihad. They don't use the term Islamist. I know Daniel Pipes tries to do all kinds of gymnastics and Sudi Jasser. Islam is a system. The system has jihad in it. Some Muslims follow it. Thank God most don't. The ones who do are national security risk. The doctrine itself is a national security risk to the West. So we're analyzing what we can do, the United West, and we said this border issue will resonate intellectually and emotionally with voters, particularly in 2024. If we want to win the Senate, Congress, and the White House, we need to go on an issue that is visceral, that you can see it every day, you can smell it, you can hear it, you can feel it. And when you see that border, even if you're in the comfort of your living room, and military-age men with tattoos on their necks coming and walking across laughing with iPhones, you know inside something's not right. So we grabbed on that issue and said, this issue is a winning issue to persuade Americans to vote for elected officials who will defend the border and save lives. This is what Tom Homan believes. We hooked up with him. We're telling his story, and he is part of our team. And so far, and I have no reason to believe the next 2 years won't continue, it's been a phenomenally successful campaign. We're growing and growing and growing, and we're going to have major influence in 2024 in the United States on this issue.
Tom,
there's
on your website, defendtheborder.org, there is a video of a Liz Ure, and who's being interviewed by Bannon, Steve Bannon. She brings up a very chilling number. She said 14,000 unaccompanied illegal minors are coming into the United States on a monthly basis from over 100 countries from around the world, not just Mexico or Guatemala. In the state of Illinois alone, it costs $1.5 billion to care for 22,000 children that are in state custody. So what should we be concerned about with regards to the trafficking of children that's being allowed under the Biden-Harris regime?
Yeah, great question, Vito. The issue, the border, you know, you think it's one issue, the border. The border is simply a physical line on the ground that distinguishes one country from another. You could bring in any level of evil. And what you're identifying now is one of the most horrendous forms of evil, the exploitation of children. But jumping for a second to the cartels, I talked to a Border Patrol agent 2 days ago, and the cartels are in such wars where they're basically jihadis. They're jihadis without their Allah. Their paradise is money here and now. But they will cut your head off. They'll behead you. They'll cut your body up. They'll throw you in a meat grinder, in one of those tree cutter machines. They'll do whatever to win, to get the money. They're ruthless. They're fighting each other now for control of those 14,000 kids. The way it works is very simple. The short answer is the Biden administration has lost control of many of the children where they don't know where they are, and they're allowing unaccompanied minors because somebody will cross the border with two kids. I saw a video the other day of a bunch of kids, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, sedated so that they can't say, this isn't my mother, this isn't my father. They get over, and then they get placed somewhere else, and before you know it, they disappear into the fabric. But you can come into the United States saying it's your kid. There's no documentation. They lost all their paperwork. They left not Guatemala. They left Iran. There's Iranians coming. There's Ukrainians coming. They left. They lost all their paperwork. They're asking for asylum because we have to grant asylum for political prisoners. And there's no forensic testing. There's no metric testing of any sort. So now you got a guy with two kids. He says they're his kids, and he is going to sell those kids at some point, or they're going to get lost in the system. People don't realize it. Well, our media that will start coming out, you'll be seeing actual stories of all of this being told. It's very, very, very sad and bad.
ahead, Al. Kamala Word Salad Harris was on Meet the Press yesterday with Chuck Todd, and she stated that our borders are secure. You got any comment about Word Salad Harris's comments? And since she's the border czar, wouldn't she know?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Chuck Todd, I didn't see that episode. Maybe I taped it. I didn't tape it. That's right. Maybe the other two viewers taped it, and I can find it somewhere. Oh, no, nobody taped it. That's right. Nobody watches Chuck Todd, but you, I guess, Vito, you watched it. Or you saw it somewhere.
I saw a clip. I couldn't watch it.
I don't really think that – yeah, you'll get the nitwit, pro-abortion, you know, gay rights women who just – think Kamala Harris Saint Kamala, but any, you don't have to be a serious thinker. Any legitimate university student is trying to learn. No one takes Kamala Harris seriously. She's dopey on the face. She's not a smart person. She's goofy. When he asked her, because I saw that same piece, when he said, and he challenged her a little bit, I said, oh, Chuck's got, you know, a little bit of balls here. Can you tell me the border is secure? And then she starts what you described accurately, her word salad. Well, the security of a secure border is having the sense of security that we know it's secure. And she starts all that stuff. And she has been invited 10 million times by border officials in all four border states to literally really come down there and spend a couple of days like Alan and I did, embedded with a sheriff in one of the border states and go see what was really going on. I'm not the vice president. Alan's not the vice president, but one of the sheriffs, Mark Daniels, Cochise County, Arizona, took us as VIPs, showed us all around. I got his phone number. I'm sure I can get Kamala hooked up with Mark Daniels. She does not want to go because it's a gigantic embarrassment to them, but it shouldn't be. We know this is a voter registration drive for the next 2 years for the Democrats. We know that. So she should just say, look, we're trying to take care of people. We believe they'll become good Democrat voters. And that's all. I don't need to go to the border. I just need to let more people in. She should say that. She'd probably get more credibility.
That was good.
You mean the truth?
Probably, you know. I mean, it's very, very difficult. Vito and Alan, maybe when 9/11 first hit, except for the truthers, the Jews took down the Trade Tower, you know, bombs were inside and all that stuff, except for them. You could have a serious conversation on a logical basis with a leftist, with somebody in the Democrat Party, for 47 seconds before they went off the rail. Now, I'm a pretty good communicator. I have a hard time getting 10, 15, 18 seconds in before they tell me to go F myself because I'm a racist. When I ask them a question like, you think the border's secure? F you, you're racist, right? They have abandoned not only the basis for how to think, they've abandoned thinking. And, I was talking to a 14-year-old kid today, a friend of my kid, and they were relating to me a story in school. 14 years old now, freshman. The teacher was saying, who's going to phys ed gym class? And they asked this one 14-year-old girl, and she responded, I don't have to go to gym class. I'm non-binary.
And you know, the class starts laughing, which I'm sure they'll get ridiculed for. But you have a 14-year-old girl saying she's non-binary. She doesn't have to go to gym. If, you know, I have a background in philosophy and thought. If you take that, apart from its humorous level, and you deconstruct what's going on in that girl's head, the family's head, you have the essence of a broken political party, the Democrat Party. And when you give the authoritative control of the U.S. government to the hands of broken political thinkers, you get the chaos and destruction we're living in right now. And it's bad.
So what solution do you see on the horizon, if any?
Nuke them all, let God sort them out. Oh, wait. Oh, no, we can't do that. That was going around.
Well, according to Vice President Harris, according to Vice President Harris, the solution is a pathway to citizenship bill, and that is her solution, and that is getting traction.
Well, the real solution I got from pathway to citizenship, yeah, the real solution to the cultural problem, I got from a rabbi, Orthodox, well, not a rabbi, but an Orthodox Jewish friend of mine, who got in a lot of trouble with the U.S. government, Jack Abramoff, a casino Jack, back with some of the crazy dealings in the Republican lobbyists, K Street lobbyists. I was sitting with him in L.A., invited him to come with me to Israel. He couldn't because he was out on parole from his federal crimes of defrauding and all that. And while he was in prison, he had a lot of time to reflect religiously. And we're talking about the same thing we're talking about now, the demise of Western civilization, particularly in America. And he said to me, he goes, I only see one solution, Tom. He goes, you guys got to have, and when by you guys, he meant evangelical Christians. He said, you Christians have to have a religious revival, and the half the country has to come to God to abandon their evil ways, and that you don't need laws or political principles or any of that. You will live by God's law, God's standard, and then things will improve. We saw this in the history of the Jews for 4,000 years. So that's the ultimate solution, according to Jack Abramoff, and I agree that there's a lot there. The immediate solution is twofold, grass tops and grass roots. Grass roots are the blue-collar men and women of America, recognizing that Thomas Jefferson and all his buddies, with all their foibles and failures, got it right as to how to construct a country. We've got to get back to the Republican principles and rule of law. So grassroots, we the people, got to get out, mobilize, vote, school board, the stuff we're hearing. Grass tops are the elected officials. We've got to put pressure on elected officials to follow the principles of Jefferson. We believe the issue of the border crisis over the next 2 years will serve as an educational palette on which we can paint a variety of ways for all Americans to get engaged and to try to save this country through the gateway of the border issue. And that's what we're going to do. So go to defendtheborder.org. We've got the whole story there, what we're doing, what we're about. And join with us, sign up. We'll be in touch, and we'll show everybody how they get involved and come on a wild two-year ride and have a blast saving America. We can do it, actually. When I said earlier, I don't know if we can do it in time. If we can get our plan and some other plans going, then we can slow the destruction at the border, the chaos, till 2024 when we change administrations, or even 2022. We get the House and the Senate, we can defund, slow this down a lot. or fund the right people. But we need to take over the administration in order to get Trump, somebody like Trump, Tom Holman, back in there to secure the border. Tom Holman, I talked to him the other day, talked to him regularly. He says, I said, Tom, you get back, and he'd become the border czar under Trump if Trump got reelected, if he runs. That's what my guess is, the border czar. And he said, I said, how long, Tom? He goes, we need 30 days. 30 days, we'll get it secure again.
Wow.
I said, okay. And what they're going to do, they're going to go after Mexico and say, clean up your side or your economy's going to get blown up. The Mexican government will clean it up, and then he's going to give the border police complete control to turn people back. And there you go. Problem solved.
As it was before.
Yep, we had 2 years of a secure border. And we saved lives. All right, guys, I got to get going.
Okay.
I got a little human being in front of me here.
All right. Well,
Tom, thank you.
Tom, that was a great interview. And everybody who's listening, please support Tom Trento, the United West, and defendtheborder.org. And defend Tom so he can help defend us and keep our republic whole and strong.
All right. Thanks, guys. Love you. Keep up the great work. You guys have been there. How long now? 10, 12 years? How long have you been doing this?
14 years today, as a matter of fact.
Well, congratulations. I'm going to go smoke a cigar in the celebration of the great work you guys have been doing. I'm super impressed. Take it easy, guys.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for all you do.
Tom,
as well.
Thank you.
Be safe.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
That was great. Thanks, Al. That was Tom Trento of The United West and of defendtheborder.org. That's no S on the after border, so defendtheborder.org. And thanks, Al, too, for I'm reading Tom Holman's book, Defend the Border and Save Lives, by Tom Holman. It'd be a nice one day to have him on as well after you're done reading his book. So, you know, Tom hit on something that was, you know, you take for granted, and you have said this many times in our conversations, and I'm not sure it resonated the first one or two times, but now it does. The impact of having the illegal aliens coming through the border, you know, do not stop, let them come through, pour through our borders, and I think was exposed as well, where it finally resonated after Kamala Wordsow at Harris's interview with by Chuck Todd. And that is when she deflected away after she said our borders are secure. She then immediately said that Congress needs to pass laws for a pathway to citizenship, when in fact we have a pathway to citizenship in the United States under immigration laws. We always have. The problem is illegal aliens coming into the country, and that is to take illegal aliens and make them citizens, allowing them to vote and become registered voters. And that's what the Democrat Party is banking on, the illegal aliens coming through the borders, giving them amnesty, allowing them to vote. They become members of the Democrat Party. And that's what really, it finally resonates. And Tom touched on that. You know, he mentioned that twice about becoming voters. And you have talked about that several times. And now, you know what? I get it. I understand what you're talking about, because I think Wordsow at Harris, she actually validated that yesterday with her comment about a pathway to lead to citizenship, when in fact we have a pathway to citizenship, but illegal aliens who violate 8 U.S. Code 1325. And that's something that, you know, of course, the rule of law means nothing. It's just an empty soundbite by the Biden-Harris regime. So a great point to continue to hammer home that the illegal aliens coming through the borders are future Democrat Party voters.
Yeah. What else Tom said that blew me away is that speaking with Tom Homan, who was the border czar for President Trump, and he said that they would have – Tom Homan said that they would have the border tightened up and fixed within 30 days, 1 month. It's that easy.
No, that's – isn't that
nothing
incredible?
Done in 30 days.
No.
Yeah.
I find that incredible, 30 days. That means that this administration is doing zero, zip, nada. And what's being done at the border is, God bless those border agents for doing their jobs. And unfortunately, they've got no support from the federal government under the Biden-Harris regime. If you can change this in 30 days, then that tells you that, that this administration is doing nothing. Nothing.
Right. And the President of the United States has a presidential obligation to secure our borders and have, so we have safe and secure borders. And that is a grounds for impeachment if our president is acting not in the best will or the best securing the borders of our country. So President Biden is acting against the best interests of the United States of America. The Republican Party should be filing impeachment proceedings against President Biden on that alone, even based on Vice President Harris's comment about what we really need is a pathway to citizenship, is 2 million illegal aliens have been given open arm walk-in with transportation to points unknown across our great country. It amazes me that McConnell hasn't started these proceedings or one of the other Republicans.
Yeah, it would have to come out of the House. So you're right. I'm surprised that Kevin McCarthy or not one of the Republicans in the U.S. leadership in the House has filed articles of impeachment. And I really am.
I'm sure they're saying, oh, well, we can't file them now because there's no chance of winning when we're in the minority. Well, who gives a shit? File it. Just get it on record.
Exactly. Get it on record. This is treason, man. What's happening at the border is it's intentional, gross negligence. There's no other way to describe it. And just because Word Salad Harris says, well, our borders are secure, that's just a flat-out lie. It's a lie. They're allowed to get away with this.
Yeah, and these illegal aliens, they're not coming in and getting jobs, picking lettuce. They're committing crimes. They're raping children. They're creating mayhem and violence.
Yes, they are.
They're going into and they're hurting Americans. They have become a threat. And then they get thrown in jail, and then they get let right back out again.
You know,
cartels are forming cartel houses. And a cartel house is where they're human trafficking people and fentanyl and drugs and people. And what they do is they go into a neighborhood and then they rent a house and then they use that as the base of operations.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to speak with Tom about that and ask him about the drugs that are coming through. And if you go to defendtheborder.org, there is a video on there about China's role with aligning with the Mexican drug cartels to transport illegal drugs, i.e. fentanyl, into the United States, including the more dangerous rainbow fentanyl in order to get children hooked. And this is pretty sick. And again, the negligence of the Biden-Harris regime is very, very troubling in not securing the borders because of what they are doing with regards to allowing the drug cartels to come in. I don't think I've ever seen as much fentanyl and And of course, we've seen the marijuana. And I know that one of my friends who has a border or had a Border Patrol agent friend showed a video of stacks of marijuana bales, 25 pounds. All bales were cut in a specific shape. They were square. They fit into a backpack, and they were confiscated by the mule from the mules. I believe the ceiling was probably 15 feet tall. So from ground to the ceiling, it was 15 feet. And there were stacks of these marijuana bales that the drug cartels would have the mules bring in that were confiscated and stopped by border agents. Now, if border agents are stopping that type of drugs to come in, how many are getting through to where the border agents cannot seize, including now fentanyl, which is lethal? And, you know, the drug issue, how lethal fentanyl is, and you were telling me something before the show with regards to, or maybe it was in the video, where they're lacing fentanyl with napkins are laced with fentanyl. They're leaving it on people's cars, and within 15 minutes of ingesting the fentanyl, you can have seizures and or die. And so now you have to, you know, be concerned about what it does to the family. And this is what really bothers me with the government, especially with the Democrat Party, who professes to be for the family. And all they do is they continue to tear apart the nuclear family. They're taking religion out of the family. They're taking the parents out of families, the mother and the fathers. And now they're not doing anything to stop the flow of drugs into America that are hurting and killing our children. And these drugs divide families. These drugs just absolutely separate families. They destroy families. The parents that lose a child to a drug overdose are devastated at that, especially when parents think they have done nothing wrong and these kids get hooked on heroin or fentanyl and they die. And you would think the so-called compassionate Democrat party leadership would be even more vigilant in making sure our borders are secure, except they give us lip service because they despise our constitutional republic. And what better way to destroy this republic than to erase our borders and leaving it open for the rest of the world to just walk in, including terrorists. The drug cartels have a carte blanche, walkway through to and from America. And now you see there were some photos of drug cartels setting up shop inside of Arizona borders and with tents. And what were they? They would stop anybody who dares to encroach upon the U.S.-Mexican border. It looks like I thought it was like World War II with Germans taking positions to try to kill, you know, Americans or kill our allies, trying to, you know, to stop the Germans from forging forward. That's what it reminded me of, Al. Oh.
Yes. Yeah. Then we've got Vice President Kamala Harris's daughter. After Kamala Harris became vice president, IMG, which is a modeling agency in New York, they hired her daughter, and she just went down the runway, and her breasts were popping out. This is the vice president's daughter. I don't know if you heard that story. Can you believe this? The vice president of the United States' daughter.
You know, nothing goes anymore, Al. Nothing goes. I can remember having a history teacher who said that he would rather teach sex than he would teach the violence. And he's a history teacher. So we're talking about World War II, and he's, I would rather talk about teach sex than teach about the violence of World War II. It's like, you got to be kidding me. And after I've seen it, my dad tells us stories about, you know, what, very little stories, but, you know, he did talk about the war, and it's like, my dad just fought, you know, 40 years ago in World War II, and you're telling us that you don't want to talk about the violence of World War II, and you're a freaking history teacher? You moron.
Yeah. Thank God that we had extreme violence on our side to stop the Nazis, because those National Socialists were evil, cruel, vicious people where life had zero meaning. They were Aryans. They believed that genetics and that people who were not blonde hair and blue eyes were substandard human genomes, not even people, below people, worthy of extermination. These people had to be stopped.
Yes, they
did.
If
there were Nazis today, I don't know if our younger generation has the wherewithal for that fight. I don't know if our military still is able to teach our men and women how to fight to destroy an enemy of our republic.
You know, that's a really good point. So do you think that with all the political correctness and multiculturalism wokeness that's being instilled and invoked inside the military, especially on fast track with this administration, do you think that your question is even more valid today than it was maybe 5, 10, 15 years ago? Certainly, you know, 2001, after the 9/11 attack, the passion, you know, the American patriotism certainly is different than it was 20 years later, right?
Well, look at this story in American Military News. The 9/11 terrorist mastermind, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and four others could get a plea deal from the Biden government 21 years after attack. These people, how they're still living and breathing is beyond me. They should have been killed years, decades ago. And now,
yeah,
with the president, now President Biden is going to give them a pass.
Well,
and then
so
the same American Military News, they're also reporting another story where they're going to go in and they're going to be reevaluating BUDS training for Navy SEALs because it's too intense.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. What makes the Navy SEALs elite is their training. I mean, can you imagine Mossad going, you know, we have to be a little bit more, we have to be sensitive. And you know, let's just pull back. And instead of a one-year training, I think we'll have a three-month training. And we'll just be nice. And everybody have a beer after each day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
This is not a good trend, Vito Esposito. It concerns me greatly. And Tom Trento even mentioned it even today, talking to a 14-year-old person who said they're non-binary. Yeah, they all got a chuckle out of it. I don't even know what non-binary is. Like, what do you think, you're not a male or a female, therefore you can't go to gym class?
I just said I wasn't going to gym class. I was too fat. I mean, now I should have used that non-binary.
Well, Tom extrapolated that out nicely, saying that when you have kids saying that they are non-binary or that they don't know whether they're a man or a woman, they don't know their gender, that is a symptom of a bigger problem in society that may or may not be able to be fixed anytime soon.
Well, it's also part of the communist agenda. I mean, and when you start reading the communist agenda, destroying the nuclear family, inserting sex into what is it, indoctrinating sex you know, into young children. All of this taking God out of society. The Democrat Party is guilty of every one of those communist agenda bullet points. And the dumbing down of America, listening to these people, these young people today. I was looking at Prager University video today, and the question was to these college students on college campus, do you agree with requiring people to have requiring an ID to vote? And one young lady said, no, I don't agree with that because, and she even used the term, there are illegal aliens who don't have valid IDs, and therefore you should not ask them for IDs. It's like, wait a minute, illegal aliens can't vote. And then she went on to say, well, aliens should have the right to vote because they're here in the United States and the laws affect them. Well, excuse me, they violated U.S. law. They violated U.S. code. So they've broken the law, and now you're going to reward lawbreakers by allowing them to vote in the United States. And you know, what about the legal alien who comes from Brazil, who comes from Europe, Israel, who comes to the United States and does it legally? I had a friend who immigrated from, I want to say India. I think it was India. It cost him $150,000. The only way he could get in, he could go in, come in, and do something, but he decided he was going to open a business. And that was one of the ways to come into the United States. And he invested $150,000 into a business. He had to employ so many people, which he did. And he did this for 5 years. And actually, his business was open for 10. And he was able to get a green card and then and apply for citizenship, and he's a citizen today. And he did it the right way, including a friend of mine from Brazil. The same thing. He did it the right way. And he invested in the United States, and he hired people. And you're saying that you should have the same rights as that legal alien who came across into America the right way, and he followed U.S. law, and he followed the law to gain a legal pathway to citizenship, as Word Salad Harris had stated. So Congress doesn't need to pass any more laws, because 1 million aliens who come to America are granted citizenship a year, who follow the rules, who follow that path to citizenship legally, and they're rewarded for the legal means in which they follow. I mean, I just, what are we missing here, ladies and gentlemen? What are we missing? I guess you have to think like a Democrat to understand it. I'm not sure if I can think that dumb. Jeez. I don't think I can think
like a Marxist.
I know. You know, you have to understand the enemy, and that's exactly what Thomas Jefferson did, how he educated himself. He understood his enemy. He understood the enemy. He understood the people who were trying to make things difficult to form this great nation, and that's what made our founders so brilliant. You know, they lived that experience, and then they wrote down what they did not want to happen. It only took 243 years, didn't it?
Yeah, and now you have the jihadis like Ilhan Omar and the Council on American Islamic Relations pulling out the Thomas Jefferson Koran, and they take their oath of office on the Thomas Jefferson Koran rather than the U.S. Bible or the Constitution. It's disgusting to me because they don't even understand what it was about. They've co-opted the Jefferson Koran and why he had it. And he had it because he wanted to understand why these Muslim Barbary pirates were attacking our ships, taking our men hostage and selling them into slavery. And it was because of these Muslim Barbary pirates that the Marines were formed, was to fight them. Our first enemy were the Muslim Barbary pirates, culminating in 9/11.
Wait a minute. First of all, the Council on America Islamic Relations knows all too well what the Thomas Jefferson Quran was about, as does the Muslim Brotherhood. And isn't it great? It's a great form of deceit. And it's to deceit the American people into thinking that they have assimilated. Well, we're using Thomas Jefferson's Quran. They know exactly what is in that Quran, why Thomas Jefferson had that Quran, what was established from as a result of Thomas Jefferson educating himself about Islam. Thomas Jefferson didn't want to pay the $3 million jizya that was being charged to the United States as Washington and Adams were paying. And so the Muslim Brotherhood, including their front group, the Council on American Islamic Relations, knew exactly what the Thomas Jefferson Quran represented. And it's to deceive the American people into thinking that they're all inclusive. You know, it's one lie after another, and it's to disarm the American people, as is the word Islamophobic, that was to disarm the American people, instill fear into the hearts of the disbelievers. And 21 years later, we're still dealing with the same issue, and it's only gotten worse because we've allowed this to happen. Our political leaders have been compromised. The Muslim Brotherhood knows that the best way to disarm the American people is by greed, throw money at them. There is a lack of assimilation by many that have migrated to America. There is no reason to be migrating in mass if you don't assimilate and don't integrate. And it was Linda Sarsour at the 55th annual ISNA convention who instructed her fellow Muslims, to the applause of the entire 1,100 in attendance, do not assimilate. My brothers and sisters, do not assimilate. That was her instructions. And she received an applause. And that was to the Islamic Society of North America 55th annual convention. What does that tell you? That tells me a lot. It tells me a lot.
No, it tells me that they don't want to be a part of our republic. Out of many one, e pluribus unum, out of many one. But now no one is American first, except for us and our listeners. It's America first. Not
right.
Only, just America first. We have to look out for our own best interests before we can help a world in need.
And who would have thought, Al, 21 years later, that if you are looking out for America's interest, if you're pro-American, if you are patriotic, if you believe in smaller government, if you believe in free enterprise, if you believe in capitalism, if you believe in lower taxes, now you're labeled a terrorist by this communist regime of Biden Harris. It's just unbelievable. 21 years later, now you're the enemy of the United States because you like to fly the flag. You believe in our God-given Bill of Rights. You believe in the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. You believe in free speech. You believe in freedom of religion. You believe in the freedom to peaceably assemble. You believe that it's your right under the First Amendment to redress your government for grievances. And now you're the enemy. You're the enemy by the radical and extremist government of Biden, Harris, Pelosi, and Schumer. Who would have thunk 21 years later, after 19 Muslim men funded by Saudi Arabia attacks the United States of America, now if you love America and you proudly fly the American flag, that now you're the enemy. You are going to be targeted. 87,000 IRS agents now are being funded because the Democrat Party inserted that in the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which is absolute bullshit. 87,000 IRS agents. And what does that mean? That means that 87,000 new IRS agents are coming after people who don't agree with the Biden-Harris regime. Biden has already proven he's weaponizing the Justice Department. He's weaponizing Internal Revenue. He's already proven that he's doing it. This is what little despots do.
Yeah, they raided President Trump's home. He's just the he's a U.S. citizen now, just like us. And he sent the FBI and the DOJ to go after a sitting president, a political adversary for them.
Yeah.
Trying to take him out. It's bizarre. Yep. And then you got California. California wants to outlaw fossil fuels and trying to make it where everybody must own an electric car. And meanwhile, they're having electrical grid issues revolving blackouts quite
rolling
possibly
blackouts.
Rolling blackouts because they can't produce enough electricity. So they're telling people, don't run your air conditioner, don't charge your electric vehicles, but we're not going to have any gas or fossil fuels. That is so a joke. Everyone should be laughing at California, but instead Governor Newsom is possibly going to be running for president.
I know. Rolling blackouts because they can't produce enough energy to charge your electric vehicle, which, by the way, the electric vehicles provide enough more contamination to the environment and to Mother Earth than fossil fuels. I mean, it's incredible what this sick, twisted left wing believes in. You know, was it by 2045 they're going to outlaw fossil fuel in California? Really? Really? And, I mean, it's insane.
Meanwhile, a short year and a half ago, the United States of America was energy independent. We were selling excess energy to Russia and to other countries, to our allies. We were a net producer of fossil fuels. Now it's the exact opposite, all within a year and a half.
Oh, and all by design. Let's not.
Like I Guy says repeatedly, it's all by design. He could not be any more correct.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all by design. There's just no way, shape, or form that what Biden has done since January 20th, 2021 is by accident. The idea is to erase Trump from everything, erase Trump's energy independence. And you know what? It doesn't matter that the American people are feeling the pain, because what we'll do is we'll send out the chimpanzee Biden, and he's going to give you meaningless slogans and empty sound bites. And the empty sound bites are, we're going to build back better. Okay, we have the highest inflation in 41 years. Oh, but the economy's roaring. We have people who aren't working and don't work. We have food prices escalating out of control to the point where senior citizens are wondering how they're going to pay for groceries. And what's impacted by the transportation costs, fuel? And what's impacted by, I don't know, the cost of tires, fuel? What's impacted by the cost to deliver goods, fuel? And then you have the Marxists in Washington, D.C. talking about a living wage. They have no idea what a living wage, but it's a great slogan. I can't believe that Starbucks owner made $255 million and he's not paying a living wage. Well, tell us what a living wage is, okay, first of all. Second of all, let's get rid of the minimum wage altogether. Let's scrap it, okay? You want to bring prices down? You want to bring the cost of living down? Let's just scrap the minimum wage and see what business can afford to pay an employee. And then by competition, you'll start having a rise of wages. Okay? We can't go down this road anymore, and we're demanding to pay $20 an hour, and then you sit there and say, well, you know, how come prices have gone up? I can't get my 99-cent cheeseburger anymore. Well, no, it's $4. It's $5. Why? Because you're paying some cement head, you know, $20 an hour, okay, to put a cheese on a burger and then wrap it in paper. $20 an hour. So you're mandating. And you know what? Small business can't afford it either. Small business at some point in time says, you know what? I can't run on a 2% margin. I can't afford, okay, to pay my employees $20 an hour. And it was already proven in Seattle, Washington. In the city, within the city limits of Seattle, they mandated a $20 an hour wage. I think it was 3 years ago. And stores were closing up. And they were moving outside the city limits and going into the county proper. Why? Because business couldn't afford to pay $20 an hour. You have a staff of five, six, seven people. You're paying them $20 an hour, and suddenly the owner's going, man, I lost thousands of dollars last month. Oh, and next month, the same thing. Why? Why? And a pizza place. This guy's been in business for 15 years. He had six employees. In less than 1 year, he had one employee, and the waitress was crying because she knew the owner could not afford the wages anymore, and he was down to one employee. What did he do? He moved out into the county part of Seattle, not the city proper, and now he's able to stay in business. You know, the Democrat Party is so full of shit. They are fiscally irresponsible. They don't believe in free enterprise. They don't believe in capitalism. And their economic plans are destructive, including that little midget, you know, Robert Reich, who's supposedly an economic expert, and he comes out with the dumbest tweets ever. I mean, they're going to pay a living wage. Well, Robert, tell us what a living wage is. What exactly do you mean? What is a living wage? You know, I know it sounds good. It's such a great soundbite, okay? It's another meaningless slogan by the Democrat Party, by the leftists. Forget about the Democrats, by the leftists. Because we have some Republicans who are leftists, who are part of that same uniparty system, who don't believe in smaller government, and have contempt for our constitutional republic. You know, it's time to start electing candidates who believe in the United States of America. You know what? If you're a pro-American, you love the flag, you revere the United States Constitution, you're the person that needs to be running for Congress. Get rid of all these fucking rhinos and all these phonies and frauds out there who are in Washington, D.C. for a lifetime pension and could give a crap about the American people. And that goes for every one of the members of the United States House and the United States Senate who voted for 87,000 new IRS agents. Don't tell me that Biden and Harris aren't going to weaponize the IRS. Don't tell me they aren't going to weaponize the IRS. And the Republican Party has already stated that if we become the majority of both the House and the Senate, we are going to repeal the 87,000 IRS agents. That's good enough for me right there. Because we don't live in a dictatorship. We live in a constitutional republic. This nonsense that was passed by the Democrat Party along Democrat Party lines is totalitarian. It's anti-American. This is something that you would see from Adolf Hitler in the brown shirt. You think that the raid on Trump and his friends, Trump's compound and his friends and his associates is something that's just, you know, confined just to Donald Trump? Bull. Because as soon as the Democrat Party gets their 87,000 IRS agents, they're coming after anybody who professes to be MAGA, who professes to be conservative, who professes to be a Republican and support the GOP. You don't think that little chimpanzee in the White House, you know, the hapless Biden is not up to doing that task? You know, don't forget, Susan Rice is surrounds him. Samantha Power surrounds him. Leon Panetta is in his ear. And, of course, the puppet master himself, who is Barack Hussein Tatoro Obama. He's already shown that he can weaponize the IRS. He got rid of the Tea Party, didn't he? And he went after James Rosen, a journalist. He went after James Rosen and his family using the IRS. So don't think that this cannot happen, because Biden is just following in the footsteps of the anti-American Barack Hussein Tatoro Obama.
Yeah, breaking news from republicbrief.com. The Department of Justice is demanding that President Trump pay the cost of the Democrat donor that they, meaning President Biden and the President Biden wants is their special master to review these documents. That is how petty these pieces of garbage are.
Whoa. You know, isn't it amazing?
They're fighting. President Trump is fighting the government. He's fighting the government because they're coming after him instead of us right now. Disgusting.
It really is. It really is. You have Biden weaponizing the Justice Department to go after a political opponent. This is no different than what President Trump was being accused of with regard to going after a political opponent, i.e. the Ukraine. The only difference is that Barack Hussein Satoru Obama and Joe Biden did in fact pull a quid pro quo on Ukraine. And Joe Biden admitted to it. And that's what scared the absolute crap out of the swamp in Washington, D.C. It is why Nancy Pelosi immediately went to articles of impeachment filed against President Trump because Joe Biden had diarrhea of the mouth. And if you don't believe it, here we go. We've got the clip, okay? Here is Joe Biden in his own words, okay? Let me see if I got it here. Yeah, I got it. Hold on a second. In Biden's own words, how he contacted Poroshenko and he demanded the special prosecutor be fired or you're not going to get your $1 billion loan guarantee and, okay, Barack is solid on it, okay? Barack is solid on it. 1 minute, here we go.
Tonight there's some troublesome news for Joe Biden. No, it's not what you think or what you may have heard in some other news outlets. We generally don't dabble in that kind of stuff here, at least not on this newscast. No, this is actually a lot more important because it may have to do with malfeasance, may have to do with corruption on the part of our former vice president. I want you to listen to what Mr. Biden said last year about getting a prosecutor in Ukraine fired.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
So there's Joe Biden's own words. So what somebody does who understands that we have a level of corruption, they try to find a little bit more out about what happened. And certainly that's what President Trump did. He asked Zelensky was the president. What happened? What happened? I want to know what happened. And then they accused Trump of withholding $435 million in funds to Ukraine, which in fact he never did. But we got it in Joe Biden's own words that they would that Obama was solid on this. Go ahead and call him. He's solid on this. We're going to withhold a $1 billion loan guarantee. What Joe Biden has done to go after his political opponent, which would be Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump, is absolutely disgraceful. It's un-American. It's disgusting. There is such a fervor to erase Donald Trump from history. Why? Because Trump still commands thousands, tens of thousands of people at rallies because people want America to be great again. People understand what America is capable of doing. Joe Biden is uninspiring. He's mean little imp. And he's nothing but a chronic and habitual liar. There's nothing inspiring about Joe Biden. He's a creepy old man. America wants to be a leader again. America wants winners. Joe Biden is a loser. I mean, you want to talk about a man who represents free enterprise and capitalism, and that would be Donald Trump. I'm not saying that he's the cure or pariah, but I mean, my goodness gracious. You know, the guy's had a level of success, and in just 3 years, he was successful as president of the United States, despite the swamp's best effort to derail the man. No man would have been able to withstand the scourge from the swamp that Donald Trump withstood for 4 years in office, and now 2 years later. It's absolutely disgusting. I've never thought I'd ever see such hateful and such corrupt government as we're seeing today in the United States, all because a man knows what the American people are capable of, wants America to be the greatest country in the world, knows America is the greatest country in the world, and can be a world leader and not part of this global cabal that the United Nations wants a one world government. That's George H.W. Bush once professed, the New World Order, the liberal world order. Jesus. Oh, my God, we got 5 minutes left. I didn't realize that.
Okay. It's enough to piss off the Pope.
It really is. Oh, my God, don't get me started on the Pope either. Dang.
But what is it about freedom and liberty that is so hard for people to wrap their head around? Yes, you're not given everything that you want. You're not, you succeed or fail based on your own merit, and it's not entirely the easiest way to live. I guess it's easier just being a cog in the wheel of some Marxist machine, and that's what people are buying into.
The power,
the non-binary,
non-binary
fluid people.
You know what? I do believe it's the power. You know, Washington, D.C. now is about power and control. These people have enriched themselves. We learned how corrupt the Pelosis are. Insider trading is rampant inside of Congress, irrespective of party affiliation, and it's been exposed. And now they want absolute power. And you know what? A constitutional republic does not give them absolute power. I believe that. I think that's the crux of it now. Jeez. But tomorrow we have Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross Preston at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday we got Hank Jones at Poly Sports at 5:30 p.m. I'm sure they'll be talking college football. Thursday, Paul Sutcliffe with the Cancer of Civilization Jihad. On Thursday, we got Paul Sutcliffe with the Sutcliffian Report. Paul is also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, which you can purchase on Amazon.com or at Paul Sutcliffe's website. Friday is Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday, right around 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakdak and a beautiful Christy, revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You know, Al and I started this station 14 years ago, and about 13 years ago, we met Usama. And I'll tell you, that man has not changed. And if anything, and Al, I know you can attest to this, I mean, if anything, Usama has just been, it's incredible what that man does. He's so inspiring, and he's so uplifting. And so if you get a chance, you know, go to listen to Revealing the Truth About Islam. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with Interfaith Dialogue at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. It's simulcasting. And Monday, Alan will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio, Airwaves of America, G-Ski, and Dave, please keep G-Ski in your prayers. He's recovering well, and it's so good to hear. God bless you, G-Ski. Andy, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and our great sidekick, Curtis Bennett. Southern Sense Talk Radio, Fridays, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Chief Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. If you want a break from politics and Islam, check out the Simone Nicole Show. It's a great self-help show. Joshua runs that show. Great job. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com. It is Blog Talk Radio's sister network, Spreaker.com, 8 p.m. And then on Thursdays, Audrey Russo at Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays. Go to AudreyRusso.com. She is a great patriot. Al, thank you so much for getting Tom Trento in today. And certainly we'd like to speak to him a little bit more next time when he has a little bit more time. But go to defendtheborder.org, and also Tom Holman's book, Defend the Border and Save Lives. I'm not quite halfway through, but it's a pretty good book, and Tom's done a hell of a job, hasn't he? Any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next week, and have a great week. God bless America. God bless our republic.
Hey, thank you, Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Thank you, Sue. Bring it on, boy, Ducky Northwest, Eye Guy, and Golf Dogs. And, boy, we're in the house earlier, so you guys take care of yourself, and please be safe out there. God bless you guys. Ciao.
It was my way.
That's all, folks.
I kept popping Popeye in and nothing came up, and I realized it was Porky.
That's a good one.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I'll tell you, Tom's, it's really cool. I didn't realize the theological part that Tom's training, and I was reading his bio today. And for all these years, I didn't realize that he's a theologian. Man, he had a degree in theology.
Yeah, that's his thing. That and law enforcement, theology.
Yeah, philosophy.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Very
good speaker.
Interesting. He can articulate his thoughts better than anybody. He's very engaging.
Yeah. Yeah, that I remember that go back to the ovens and that video that he took. It was like, holy crap. I mean, he was talking about being in the right place at the right time. Like you, he's got no fear. You guys have been in some really interesting places, I got to tell you.
Yeah. You want to see how the sausage is made, you gotta go to some pretty uncomfortable places from time to time. But I tell you, that girl screaming, send them back to the ovens, is nothing but evil, absolute evil. I've been reading these books on Auschwitz and the crematorium and it's evil.
It is evil. And it should not be given a pass. Now, is that the mindset, you know, of all Muslims? I wouldn't think it would be all Muslims because all Catholics don't have the same mindset. But you know, this is taught to these people. It is taught. And you know, I'll never forget the friend of mine who was a cop in Israel, and we had this conversation probably about 15 years ago, and you know, he said, when it's reported that Hamas fires rockets and missiles from hospitals and schools, they're not kidding. And he goes, you know, when a rocket attack would occur, you know, or a terrorist attack would occur from the Palestinians, we would have to go in and find the terrorists. And we would find them, and we would go house to house searching. And he says, I'm going to tell you, I can't tell you how many times we've went into a house that we know is where the terrorist was residing. And we go in there, and there are two little babies. And you know, and this is the bad rap the Israelis get. But people don't understand that the baby's lying in a crib. Oh, and the mother screams, don't touch my baby. We're not going to touch the baby. But you lift the baby up out of the crib, and you pull back the sheets, and you pull back the top cover, and the baby is laying on ammunition, laying on boxes of bullets and boxes of what you'll find weapons. How do you put a baby on a box of hand grenades? And what do you need that for? You know, we know, we as the Israeli police, we have an idea, and of course the IDF knows where these rockets and these attacks come from. And there's the, you know, the baby is they hide their weapons, you know, in cribs to make the Israelis look bad. One day he pulled back the sheets and he took the top mattress off, and there was a cache of weapons and ammunition underneath the baby. You know, I mean, he says, you can't make this stuff up.
And that's just what they find.
Yeah, thank you. Right, right. Just what they find. Just like the border, right? You know, the fentanyl that's being seized, the 15 pounds, 150 pounds, it's just what they find, right?
Yeah, and if you're Chinese, President Xi loves it. Because
yes.
those are bombs, bullets. Who needs that when you've got drugs? And you can give the drugs at a fraction of the cost and kill and ruin as many young lives as possible to alter the culture of our country. And it's a very effective tactic. It's an unrestricted warfare.
You know, I'd like to have Holman on the show and talk about that. Why does the Chinese government, the communist Chinese government, align itself with drug cartels in Mexico to bring illegal drugs through the United States, like fentanyl, like rainbow fentanyl, to infect our children? Huh? Why does the communist Chinese do this? Why do they fund the drug cartels, illegal drug cartels, doing nothing but killing our children?
Yeah, he was, gosh, you're right, we haven't had him on in years, and he is a phenomenal guest.
Tom Holman?
Well, yeah. Leo Holman as well.
Oh, Leo Holman too, yeah. Leo Holman, we had him on in 2017, I think was the last time we had him on. Oh, no, 2019.
Yeah.
God almighty. Just incredible, man.
Well,
we're
in for some hard times. It's not going to
get any easier.
It's going to get a whole lot worse because recession is just starting, and that's going to be a good 2 or 3 year cycle, and we're just now getting into it. And then all this money being spent, what it's going to do to our currency? Oh my!
Well,
stock
I just got my
toilet paper.
You know, it's funny. I got my statement for my retirement plan, and I can tell you without a doubt. This year, I'm down $60,000. So, if this keeps up, I'm certainly not going to be retiring anytime soon. Not that I can, but there's, you know, how about the people that are like within months of or want to retire at the end of the year, and their retirement plan has already dropped $60,000 to $80,000, $100,000. This is really and truly troubling. And there's, you know, Biden's intentional destruction of the American economy is what really drives you mad. At erasing everything that President Trump did, the positives for the anti-Republic cause, unbelievable. Extracting everything that President Trump did, erasing everything he did.
Including
the
your 401k.
Yeah. That's one retirement plan. 40% this year alone down.
I can't even tell you how many people, when Trump was in office, their 401ks were 30, 40, 50, 60, 70% higher. And now all those gains have near evaporated.
Oh, they have evaporated, and they are below when President Trump took office.
Yeah.
They are below.
So all you can do is ride out the cycle.
Yeah, definitely. And thankfully we can get by this, you know, this administration with, yes, then that's, you know, the ambition was to retire early, but, you know, that is not going to happen. So.
Hey, you're not alone.
Yeah. You are not alone. I want to be alone. Oh, wait a minute. That was Greta Garbo.
You are not alone, sir.
So I just read
America's scripts.
I just read in Jihad Watch that 81 people on the terror watch list caught at border during Biden handler's administration. 81 that you know of. Jeez. the number of Afghans that have come into the country that have unvetted Afghans is truly troubling.
They're the ones that we didn't let in on the plane.
Yeah. Well, all right. Have a good evening. Thanks for getting Tom. It was great, man. It's always good. We haven't talked to him in a long time. It's really nice to have him back. And our 14th anniversary. So.
Wow. Go figure. We were worried we weren't going to have enough to talk about.
Yeah. We're doing a half-hour show.
30 minutes. We got to fill 30 minutes. Oh, my God. The pressure. Oh, the pressure. No, it's 2 hours. I'm just getting warmed up.
You know, isn't it amazing? I mean, holy crap. You know, here it is. We sat there at the Denny's and we talked about having enough material to talk about for a half hour. And how are we going to do it? And, you know, 14 years later, it's 7 days a week. And then we've met some great people along the way, though. I mean, two from New Mexico, and she's been a really great individual and a great person, has put in touch with so many people, and thank you, Sue, for that. And we've met Holger and Smoke from Texas and Golf Dogs and Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and it just, you know, we've met a lot of people along the way, and it's been a heck of a ride, Al. 14 years, I'll never forget our little discussion in the golf cart, and boy, you were ahead of your time, man.
Now all we need to do is have the PGA open their borders.
The PGA's done a great job
playing.
No, the PGA, they went to a competing tour. They are now employees of the Saudi LIV tour, and they violated their contract. And they shouldn't have signed their PGA membership. And now, you know what? The PGA took a stand, and rightly so. They violated their contract. So PGA's done well.
The PGA made a huge mistake. The DP tournament, that was great. They had 14 LIV guys playing, and made for a better tournament, and it happened to be for only 3 days because of the Queen. So 54 holes is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's a good thing, because otherwise the LIV guys would have fell out of the top 10, because there would have been 72 holes that the demand of going longer. So I'm sure they're grateful for only 54 holes. So,
well, it didn't go that way. So all your whining's not going to change anything. But the PGA, they need to open their borders. They need to open their borders. Let the players play.
Thank you for the PGA for holding contractually the tour players to their contract. And if you join a competing tour, like become an employee of Saudi LIV, you've terminated your membership. So great.
Yeah. I'm sure the European tour is thrilled with how the PGA poached the best European players for more money.
Oh, the PGA.
Back then. But hey.
No, the Europeans and the European Tour and the PGA Tour are aligned, and that's the stepping stone. And that's exactly what the Europeans know, that they have a good slate of players, and they allow American players can go and qualify for the European Tour if they can't qualify for the PGA, and it's happened. And then you take that stepping stone. So, and these other guys, you know, the defectors took a stepping stone to a competing tour and became employees of the Saudi LIV tour. There you go. You're employees for a competing tour now. You're employees, not independent contractors. So you've signed a contract that stated that you will not play for a competing tour. So the PGA is right in doing so. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And unfortunately, the liberal judges in the UK, they bent to it. So screw them.
I never thought that you would side with McIlroy.
I'm siding with the PGA Tour.
Hating bastard.
I'm siding with the PGA Tour in Tiger Woods. And you know what? And I might have felt different if Greg Norman, that spiteful bastard, didn't go after Jack Nicklaus, and that really, you know, the thing that bothers me the most about Greg Norman, he's a two-faced individual. He built a brand while playing on the PGA Tour. He built a name while being on a PGA Tour. He made his billions while being a PGA Tour player and from the PGA Tour. And now he's disparaging the PGA, who gave him the opportunity, and certainly you have to have the business acumen to leverage that. And now he is berating the very tour that gave him the opportunity, and he is berating the number one golfer in the world, Jack Nicklaus. That, you know, and the same with Ian Poulter. Ian Poulter buys his mansion over at Lake Nona. He buys his fast and expensive cars. Well, he's a PGA player. He lied to get his PGA card. He was actually a 3 handicap, but you know what? To his credit, he backed up stating that he was a scratch player, and he went on and you know, he's got his clothes, he gets all his endorsements, and then he turns in the PGA. But I guess when you have to maintain that lifestyle of excess, you need to go ahead and sell your soul to the Saudi Arabians. I guess, you know, because you know you're not going to win on the PGA.
The success of the players on the PGA Tour helped the PGA just as much as it helped the players and the LIV Tour. So what if they're offering them $200 million to play? If they want to pay them $200 million to play golf, only a fool would say no, and the PGA should say, yeah, if you want to take the LIV money, you can still play there or here. It doesn't matter. And then the PGA still would have been right where they're at, but all of a sudden now the PGA is finding all this extra money to pay out. Now they're starting to pay $20, $25 million per event, or they have special events that are going to be paying double or triple the normal payout schedule. Where are they getting all this money all of a sudden?
I'll tell you where. Okay, so there'll be less going into the retirement fund because now players want it up front. Okay, and there'll be less going to charities. So there you go. I mean, so the PGA, okay, has built a nest egg, and there's nothing wrong with that because every member of the PGA is taken care of at age 65. And so you know what? Now you get less of a retirement plan and a pension, okay? So at age 65, if you're a PGA member in good standing and if you've played at least 2 years, you'll get a pension. You know what? That's fantastic. And unfortunately, and I wish I had the foresight back when I was 21 years old to be a pension-minded individual to know that 30 years comes by or 35 years goes by pretty fast. But these guys, you know, have maintained a lifestyle now that they want this big money up front. So the PGA now says, okay, you'll get less on the back end. Okay, so now when you're 65, you better have invested wisely from your 20s to your 50s. That's all I got to say. That's my opinion, okay? But I think the greed factor, they want everything now. I look at the mansion that Ian Poulter lives in, the fast cars that he gets, all of his clothing, and certainly most of the clothing is probably given to him by his sponsors for nothing. But this guy, you know, buys his these $130,000 cars. Okay, well maybe you should buy a $60,000 car and throw $60,000 into a pension plan. Okay, so now he's gonna, you know, he has the ability to make $3 million in a tournament. Okay, whippy shit. He knows he can't win on the PGA Tour anymore. And certainly, I know that when Phil Mickelson won 3 Champion Tours tournaments, that's what changed his mind. Oh, I'm 50 years old and I'm making $300,000, $350,000 for a tournament. Well, you only doing 3 days a week. So they found a pigeon to fund them, and that's Saudi Arabians. Take it. But know that if you become an employee of a competing tour, you invalidate your PGA contract. That's the consequence of it.
Unless it's the DP world. Unless it's the DP world, then it's a different story.
Well, they took it to the
court. World turns.
Yeah.
As the world turns. Ah, boy. I had played better golf when I was younger.
I know, right?
Well, shoot. Younger? Hell, I want to play better golf now that I'm older, and I still can't do it. Where's the PGA? I want the PGA. I want them, to be my crutch. I want them to hold me up. I want to get on that pension plan. But they reject me.
I know a guy that that played 2 years on the senior tour, and then got injured. But
yeah.
When he turns 65, he gets a pension. It's like, and he was in the top 20. Go ahead.
How much pension does he get? And how much pension does he get? And how much is pension money is taken out of the players' winnings?
That I don't. Not much is taken out. So he's been a PGA member for 20 something years, and he spent 2 years on tour. So now he's five. I think he's getting like $5,000 a month once he turns 65. That's pretty damn good.
Sounds
for
like
only
a
being. Hey, that's the PGA Tour is $5,000 a month. That's pretty darn good for only being on, actually being on tour for 2 years, but having a PGA card for I think 20 is what he had. That's pretty darn good, not winning a tournament either.
Well, pension's bankrupted GM, so who knows what's gonna happen. But it's interesting nonetheless.
It is. All right. Well, have a good evening.
Always good for a spirited argument.
Oh, so yes.
So
Sue,
look at the bright side.
What's that?
Look at the bright side. We're not giving polio vaccinations to Pakistanis in Pakistan. We're right here at home.
And end up dead.
Come in, Mr. Pakistani. Let me help you with your children and their polio. Come on, come on, come on. This will help you. I give you now.
Yes, polio vaccination is haram. I kill you.
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. You start to think you're having, hey, you know, you're not having such a good day or a good week. Just remember, you're not giving polio vaccination to the Pakistanis. And everything is looking up, up, up from there.
Oy. Well, I'm here for my polio vaccine. All right.
Hey,
stay safe.
Have a good evening and a great week.
You too.
All right.
You too.
Adios.
Good luck tomorrow. Bye, Sue.
Bye, Sue.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Music Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.